35, we have the same members of the city council that were present for the city council meeting. In addition to that, we have Bill McCarty, we've got Mark Mahoney, we've got Stephanie Barton, and Joe Davis. Just want to cover two things very, very briefly. Number one I would like to touch on is the cemetery. You know, when we were doing the budget last year, everyone was aware that we were having financial problems. And one of the questions that was asked us was, what kind of options do we have? And the reality is we don't have a lot of options. If you really look at it, there are three options that we can look at. Number one, we can continue to subsidize the cemetery as we have done over the last two budgets, and we would expect that we will be bringing, when we go to our budget hearings, a subsidy.
Excuse me, Mayor, point of order, is this within the scope?
I'm going to get there in just a moment, just to give you some background. Number two, we could sell the cemetery. Or number three, we could enter into a management agreement to have someone take over the management of the cemetery. Now, in my opinion, number two in terms of selling the cemetery is not something that I would consider. I mean, it's just not something that I would support or think about. But under our agreement with AFSCME, what we have is an agreement that says any successor to the city of Springfield, if we were to enter into a management agreement, would automatically assume the contract that we have right now. So that as we are looking to do this, what I would like to get a feel from the city council is if there is an interest in doing an RFP. There are about four national cemetery firms out there where we would request proposals to have them submit a proposal to us, which we would then take a look at, make a determination as to whether we would want to move forward with it or not. The reason I bring this up, if we were to take those steps, what we would want to do before that is to, number one, inform the union that we were doing that, and number two, inform the employees that we would be doing that. It's not a matter that in terms of doing a request for proposal that we would in fact be saying we're going to do this. What it would do is give us the opportunity to take a look at what we might be able to do or have as an option. What we would be anticipate, and we have been in contact with one firm, and they had actually contacted us, and it's actually the second largest cemetery firm in the country, and they would be interested. They would want to be interested in buying.
They say it again.
They would be interested in buying.
Who's the company?
It's called Stonemore. They are out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and they operate some cemeteries in Illinois. But they've also indicated that they would be willing to take over the management of the cemetery on a long-term type of basis. We've examined two cemeteries where they have done this, and basically the reports that we've got are such that I would recommend that we at least take a look at this. If nothing else, what we would be doing is eliminating the subsidy that we are providing right now. Now, a couple years ago, that subsidy was $450,000. 2 years ago, it was about, in round numbers, $430,000. Last year it was around $390,000. So that if you look at this going forward, I mean, on a 10-year basis, we're talking about some real dollars, and that the subsidy, it's coming out of corporate fund.
What
Mike Lowe,
I think the subsidy Mike, in the few next this coming year.
We probably going to be coming in at somewhere around that $450,000 number. Mike Lois has done an excellent job in running the cemetery. I can't say enough about the job that he has done. He has reduced the expenses. We are very short-staffed out there. We're not buying much. Our problem is revenue, and we're just not generating the revenue that we need. That's not going to change. And I personally don't want to be in a position where we simply continue to subsidize. I don't have a problem if we decide we want to subsidize. I don't have a problem with that. But let's make a conscientious decision as to what we're going to do as opposed to just let it happen.
So what does this company do differently?
Basically, they're into sales. And what they would do is the way they operate is they operate on a regional basis. They have like a regional sales manager. They talk in terms of having four or five salespeople that would come in and be working here in Springfield selling the cemetery plots.
How much space is being left out there?
There is probably, given what's happening with cremations, mm-hmm. an indefinite amount of space.
Okay.
Because what's happening is cemeteries spaces are decreasing in terms of sales right now. And the last number that was out there for the state of Illinois, and I believe it's for the year 2011, somewhere around 37% of all the funerals are cremations. If you go back 10 years, it was about 18%. I mean, it's projected to be up to 46% in 2016.
So they're going to come up with a marketing strategy. I guess they used another cemetery.
What they do is they do the maintenance. They have their people do maintenance, but the maintenance is a separate operation from the sales. And they really focus on the sales. And the one thing that where we have visited is that they are really into sales. They also, based on experience, they say they want to keep all the people that are there. And again, this would just be one firm, because what we would do is do an RFP to see what would be out there. But that they keep the staffs that are in the cemeteries. They don't want turnover. They hire salespeople, and they really make their money in terms of going out and selling.
How much is a plot? I have no idea. I have $1,000.
Oh, I think
$10,000.
I don't think
$1,500. I think is the number.
I guess their marketing. Who are they going to be marketing to people around the country?
No. They would be the people they would bring in for salespeople would be people who would be hired here in Springfield, who would live in Springfield. And they would be basically selling here in Springfield.
Okay.
Now, again, this is just one company, because I'm not necessarily would go with the company. It's be a matter that this is just one we've talked to from the aspect that they have made an approach to us.
Right. And I remember this discussion, and we talked about what things we could do, and one of them was increase the cost. Why can't we just do that?
Because we're sort of at the top of the cost basis right now, and one of the problems.
Isn't that what they're going to do?
Well,
No.
They're more about generating this. I was a little skeptical at first, but when we talked to the cemeteries, I mean, they're talking numbers of 400% increase in some of the sales on the sales side. Our cost of our plots, we can't really go ahead because you've got to compete with Camp Butler, you've got to compete with other cemeteries around.
So they indicated that our costs are, when they take over a cemetery, costs are what they are. What they excel at, and this is, just one company. We're not saying that we're sold on this company. It's just one concept. What they excel at is marketing, like you've indicated. They have expertise. They do this all over the country. This is a trend that's growing and growing and growing. In fact, I just sent something to two gentlemen the other day. The company that talked to us just secured management of the all of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia Cemetery, 7,000 burials per year. And that's just one area that's indicated. We visited a couple cemeteries in the area. One of them that we visited is very similar to Oak Ridge in size and number of interments and things of that nature. And the folks we talked to there were very, very pleased with what's going on there. I mean, they're very happy with what has occurred, and they said the same thing that Mark just talked about. They have double, triple, quadruple sales because they just have that expertise.
Frank, and then Frank. Does Frank down here?
couple things that come to mind. Are they just selling plots, or are they selling the headstone? The reason I ask that is because we have local companies that, you know, we don't want to be competing against and putting people out of work at the same time we're trying to do this. The second thought that comes to mind, if they're really good at marketing, can we say, okay, you can sell our plot? I'm just thinking out of the box here, but can we say you can sell our plots and take a certain percentage of your sales as opposed to just taking over the whole thing? And I know this is early stages, but I worry about our local contractors. When you say sales, give me the diameters of, or the what they're really selling.
I think that they're selling the plots and they're selling the perpetual care.
The peripheral stuff, right, that goes with it.
Well, perpetual care that goes along with that. And that what they say, and no, they're not in the business of coming in and doing sales. And what they will tell you is that when you deal with those types of companies, what happens is the only thing that they're interested in doing is trying to get as many sales as they can, and they're going to be gone. Where they manage the cemetery, they realize in order to sell the cemetery, they got to maintain the cemetery. So that the two go hand in hand, even though they operate them as two separate divisions. But they're, again, you know, their focus is their ability to go out and generate revenue.
I just like to know what the diameters of the revenue is.
And again, those would be the kinds of things that when you go out and make an assumption, we went out for a proposal that, you know, would get hashed out. Because like I say, you could go through this whole process and decide that this isn't an option. I mean, this is not something we want to...
The indication I was given is just that the services we currently sell would be the same one. And then they would maybe... They talked about not just plots, but they set up, and the one we visited, they had a cremation garden that was very nice that they set up, and of course mausoleum space and all that stuff. So the kinds of things we do now, they would do, but the indication is they would just do a better job of it.
Right.
Now, you said that they would be paying AFSCME wages?
Under our contract, they would have to assume
AFSCME wages. What about for retirement and stuff like that?
Well, again, that would be part of what would have to be negotiated, because under the contract, that contract expires at some point.
And so, what about Mr. Lawson? Would they be picking him up also?
They would want him. I'm not sure that Mr. Lawson would want to. He would, I think, prefer to stay with the city.
Mayor, so with the way...
And he has done an excellent job. I mean, you really got to... I mean, he's worked very, very hard, and he's really made a lot of improvements out there.
Is it the way this would work if we, you know, hire them, this company, to manage the cemetery?
No, I'm not asking to hire this company. What I'm asking for is the interest in doing a request for proposal.
No, I'm just asking you the way... I'm just asking you the way it would work. So if we did this, this company would manage a cemetery. They would take in all the revenue, and they would have all the expenses, and the city would have to pay nothing.
That's correct.
So if their expenses exceeded the revenue, that would just be their loss.
Correct. Okay. And they would also do the ongoing maintenance.
And do you know what percentage of the workers at Oak Ridge are in unions or unionized?
There are a total of 14 employees at Oak Ridge. 10 of them are members of AFSCME, and four. Yeah,
so theoretically, they could get rid of the other four if they wanted to.
Well, again, that has not been the way they have operated in other places. They've hang on to the people that
all
are
over there. Alderman Lesko does raise a good question about these pensions, because if they become a private employee of a private company, then I don't know how they're going to get a pension from the IMRF. That's...
Well, there would be ways to do that in terms of maintaining them as city employees on a contractual basis to them.
There's a lot of things that have to be discussed.
But, you know, again, this, I mean, we don't have answers. We just, what we're talking, my thing is, I don't want to go out and create a problem yeah, with the employees getting concerned about this, the union being concerned about it, if in fact there's not an interest in looking at it. I mean, that's all I'm asking is,
yeah,
is there?
I think you have to look at it.
I would agree with you, Frank.
Yeah,
I don't.
You know, sure.
We don't have. It's the only option we have. And again, if we decide we don't want to do it, I don't have a problem with that. But then we're going to make a decision that we are going to subsidize it in the future and then move forward.
Okay. Yeah, if we can save $400,000 a year, spend that on infrastructure.
$400,000 now is just gross.
Yeah. The one concern I have is that $400,000 is for one plot a day every operating day of the year, additional more than they're selling now. I believe that 261 plots is going to be hard to increase our current sales by that much, no matter who they are. I have a problem with money in the perpetual care fund of the cemetery. Because if they come in and take this over for a period of time, especially if we have these employees, state and city employees, at the end of time here, that's out of ground to sell. So then all we have is a cemetery that costs us money and retirement with no income because we sold it out at some point in time.
They would not take control of the perpetual care fund. We would retain that fund, and they would contribute to it just as we do now.
And it's controlled by state law, in that what happens, and I'm not sure I'm going to go throw something out, but I think when you until somebody is buried, you get like 15% of the perpetual care fund, 85% stays in. Is it that the way it works, Mark? Initially, there's 15% initial, and then that money, the rest of it stays there, and then they don't get that money until the person actually uses the plot.
Well, there's two. There's the pre-need and the perpetual care. The pre-need might be what you're thinking of. The perpetual care percentage of every sale goes into the endowment fund.
Yeah.
That's meant for perpetual care after you've sold all your plots. That's the fund that we retain control of.
Now, and they would still make the same contributions.
Yes, they would have to make the same contributions, just as we do today. The other fund that the mayor was referencing, the pre-need, of course, we have money in there for burials that have yet to come that the people have already paid in. So they would get back, but they would treat that the exact same way that we do. They would put any pre-need sales in that fund. So, and typically these are long-term agreements, like 40 years. But typically, at the end of it, you would get back what you put in. If they sold and haven't buried yet, and it's turned back over to the city, then we would take control of that fund and the funds that are in there. The same way it goes, same way both ways.
So you're saying that these are 40-year contracts that you would sign?
They don't necessarily have to be. That's just one of the things. They've done 40-year contracts, this particular company.
And, but it would probably be in 10-year increments.
I think
with a termination
I think by the questions you're getting, there is interest, and let's see where it goes.
I'd like to see if the
weigh in on this, too, or maybe some others want to, but I don't have an interest in it. I really don't. I think I see the same red flags that Alderman Griffin was starting to think about. If we're saying we can't do anything with the cost of maintenance, we're saying that's kind of fixed. We can't do much with that, but we can do something with revenue. The logic just doesn't seem to be there, because the only way we're going to increase revenue is if we take sales away from the competing cemeteries. And with the cost-conscious public, I think the only way we're going to take away sales from the competing cemeteries is if we lower our price. Well, anyone can lower the price of the plots. If we want to do that, we could do that ourselves if we think that's the way we're going to generate revenue. So I just don't see the logic behind it myself.
I think the problem you have with the lowering the cost is that the cost to maintain there is so high. That's why they've priced the lots where they have based on the sales that they've had. So, I mean, when we looked, when my father passed away, I believe it was $1,500, $1,750 or whatever per plot out there, and Butler was $800.
And so yeah, Butler is free.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So there's a huge difference there. But my understanding, and because I did ask that question, you know, why are you so out of line from everybody else? And the main thing was, you know, this cemetery is unique in several ways. But, you know, I mean, there's obviously a lot to maintain with not only the Abraham Lincoln there and the other memorials there, but also the way that since it was built so long ago, you've got a lot more terrain and things and steep terrain that you don't have in typical cemeteries. So the maintenance part is a lot more expensive because of what you have there. And when they first started out, everything's so haphazard. You go to the old section there, and I mean, it's not easy to mow around those places at all. Now they have them a little bit more organized as to how they lay things out. But that's the understanding that I had, was that the maintenance part is so high. That's why they plowed. Plots are where they are. If you drop them,
I think my concern is, again, we lose control of sales at a point where we're probably going to be making the most revenue. If we want to drop the, if we weren't worried about what's going to happen 30 years from now, 40 years from now, of the upkeep, meaning the cost over that period of time, if we juice everything out of the sales during a short period of time, that's a great exit strategy, which is might be their deal. They come in, they buy these things up. Everybody that goes in and buys any type of business goes in with the exit strategy of how they're going to make money, why they're in, and when they're going to get out at the most appropriate time. And these companies do this on a national basis. They're not losing money. They know what they're doing. I'm worried about losing control of this when we have the opportunity to actually, when the sales may start to peak, and we will still have the costs on the back end no matter what we end up doing there. So,
I don't think it's not costing us anything to do an RFP. We don't know what might be out there. There's four or five companies, one. But two, I think what the mayor's saying, their expertise is sales. I'm assuming they're going to bring in a much larger sales force.
Like I said, they talked in terms of like, yeah, five people here.
And how many do we have selling now?
We don't. We got
right.
Michael.
Right. Right.
So we really don't have. This is an right. active sales force.
So I see Alderman McMenamin's point. I see Alderman, but if we want to hire five or six salespeople, which we don't, I think it's worth our while to just explore an RFP. It doesn't cost us anything.
My point being is, when you look at things, we're sitting here asking a bunch of questions that we don't have the answer.
Right. Oh, we don't have any answer. We don't know what.
That's why I'm saying it behooves us to at least look at this and follow through with it and come back. And if we want to say we don't want to do that, at least we've had our questions mm-hmm. answered. To close the door without looking at what an opportunity mm-hmm. may or may not be, I think is wrong on our part, because we're either afraid or we don't know what to expect. I think when you talk in those kinds of numbers, the choice is exactly right. Continue to subsidize or look for other ways to do things. This is just another way out of the box that we're saying, let's look at this. I'll bring you the proposal. I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'll bring some gentlemen in here. You can ask them some specific questions, try and get our questions answered, and move from there. But just to sit here when an idea pops up and say no, I think is wrong on our part.
Do we have any idea how many we're burying, how many plots we're doing a year now? Do you know, Bill?
Around 300.
300.
Inches, but that's way down from what it was a few years ago.
Between 600 and 700, I think.
Mm-hmm. And we don't have ninjas out there?
Ninjas?
Yeah,
ninjas.
Okay.
Oh, ninjas. I thought you said ninjas. Swords!
My five-year-old granddaughter was a ninja for Halloween.
Don't have any of those.
Ninjas. And I didn't know what a ninja was. The problem that we have at Oak Ridge is not unique. It's Oak Ridge. I mean, it's all across the country.
If you read all the...
Joe says Calvary has the same problem, where they've gone out and asking all the Catholics from the diocese to contribute money once a year to keep it going. But if... Then I'm going to go ahead and we're going to move forward and put together an RFP. See what happens.
No commitment.
Probably a several month process. Well, we're talking probably more than several months. And we probably would get into a discussion of this during the course of the budget. But we do want to go out and talk. We want to notify the union, because I don't want the union to get this off the street. And I want to go talk to the employees out. And I plan on doing that tomorrow.
I think when you talk to them, what's the game plan? What are you going to say to them?
Basically, the same thing that we're telling you, that we're looking to do this as an option. We'll make the decision
And you're going to tell them it's not going to affect their employment in any way?
Can't tell them that.
It's only for this contract. Because at the end of this contract.
When does the contract expire?
In April of 15, I believe. Right. April 1 of 15.
Once that contract's over, that contract's over.
Yes, okay.
And that contract wasn't with them, that contract is with us.
There's a lot to think about whenever you lose
it. It is, and the other part is that you've got some long-term employees out there. And these are fairly good employees. I mean, the people that are out there they're not problem people. They go out, they do their job, they don't cause problems. We got people that have been out there for 29, 30 years.
I guess I think it's
horrible conditions.
Well, yeah, that's, but again, in terms of negotiating something, there would be maybe a way to negotiate something that could maintain the employees that are there as long as they are there.
There's one key person out here in this room right now. His name is Mike Lewis. Mm-hmm. What's his opinion?
Well, you know, Mike is aware of this. We didn't ask him to come in tonight because people were suddenly wondering why we were...
coming the back way, whatever.
Yeah, we've seen how that works around here. Mm-hmm.
But what I didn't hear, what was Leila's opinion?
Well, again, it's the same thing. You know, he, you know, will look at it just like anything else. You know, we don't have answers.
I mean, he'd have to be a key part of drafting the RFP and working with
them. I've had several discussions with him over the year about how their budget's doing, how they're doing. And what he has said is that he's doing everything he can to control expenses, but revenue is just not growing.
Yeah, and I, again, I can't say enough about the job he's done out there because he really has done an excellent job.
And he's tried all kinds of things to increase sales, right. But it's like nickel and dime stuff here and there.
And he's making progress, but progress is not
going
to solve the problem.
We've got to talk about in here, guys.
Okay, let's get and but we will go ahead then. We're going to go ahead and meet with the union tomorrow and notify the ASME. So I would ask that no one say anything until. After tomorrow probably isn't going to make a bit of difference, because once we talk to them, then...
How is that, knowing, and again, I'm all board, how would we let them run it and then still let the employees be, city Springfield employees be staying in the retirement system?
There is a way to do it.
Is there?
Yeah.
One quick question.
It is 707.
So are you the airline?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.